Welcome to everybody to Hoops HD. It is debate season here in 2024, and we want to welcome you to the first ever Hoops HD debate. I am your moderator for the night, Chad Sherwood here, and we are here for...
Why is Chad moderating? Like, why wasn't I picked to be the moderator? Granted, I'm a participant, but I could have done both, and it would have been better.
Well, this is why we're here. For those of you who followed the show for a while now have known that Griggs very often says, well, if this was a debate, I would argue this, while giving us one of his opinions, which are normally pretty insane. So we decided to bring Zach Singer back on in, and let's square him off in a debate with David Griggs and find out if, in fact, David is correct about all the stuff he argues.
I said am before. Correct.
Well, it's an honor to be with you and the American people this evening, having drawn the short straw on the Hoops HD staff and bearing the burden this year. Thank you.
Yeah, I would have shaken hands with my opponent had I had any respect for him at all.
Or had hands.
But what we're going to do here is, as a moderator, I've got my my timer right here. I'm going to be following the time. I'm going to be throwing a question out. I'll just tell you who is going first for each question, give you a couple of minutes to respond, give the other person a chance to respond back. If I feel it's necessary, we can have a little more debate on the subject. If not, we will end it. And if you go over time, well, this is what you're going to hear. Griggs, that means you stop talking.
What? Okay. I still think I should be moderating, but...
But in all seriousness here, the very first topic is the economy. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's the wrong debate. The very first topic is in college basketball, for our college basketball debate of 2024, is quarters. Now, it has been discussed for several years now of changing the system for college basketball games from halves that we currently have down to quarters. The women do it that way already. The pros do it. International game does it. In fact, college basketball is the only place where they don't do it. I think they even do quarters in high school. So let me start with Zach first. Zach, what is your position on bringing quarters in instead of halves?
It's long overdue. Excuse me. It's not your turn, sir. Everywhere in the world that sport of basketball is played, it is played in quarters. Women's college basketball is played in quarters. The NBA, obviously, is in quarters. International basketball is in quarters. The Olympics are in quarters. Everywhere that basketball is growing in popularity worldwide, it is played in quarters. And the one sport where there's this existential crisis about its popularity is the one that doesn't have quarters, men's college basketball. You look at the rise of popularity of women's college basketball, the WNBA, the NBA. All of these have sports versions of the sport play quarters. There is clear causation and correlation. Furthermore, switching to quarters removes an additional media timeout. And unless you are an ad seller, an ad buyer, I don't know anybody who wants additional timeouts in college basketball. It is long past time for the American people to have one united basketball structure and join the rest of the world and move men's college basketball to quarters.
Oh, God, I've heard enough of this. I want to know where the concept of quarters came from, not just in basketball, but in everything. Like, how brain dead was the person that said in football or whatever, you know what we need is a clock that counts down until the half is half over. That would make everything less confusing and better. No, in fact, not only does college basketball not need quarters, college football doesn't either. We should play two 30-minute halves. I don't understand, like, why we need a break halfway through the half. It's an unnecessary reason to stop. It's an unnecessary timeout. I fear for the future of this nation if college basketball decides to start counting down to when the half is half over for no reason. Like, what happens to the under 16 timeout if you just never start at 20?
If I may. One of the great things about college basketball, everyone loves, is buzzer beaters. If you increase the number of times the buzzer goes off from 2 to 4, you double the opportunity for exciting buzzer beaters. Who doesn't like excitement and three-quarter court heaves from clueless players who have no idea that they can just pass to somebody in the front court and get a better shot?
Well, yeah, that's just it. But I mean, I'm not for getting rid of those. I just think we should only do it twice a game.
It's preposterous. That's
It is
this
not preposterous.
clearly,
It is
David
not
has no respect for the fans.
Well, okay. Now, we each got to speak at our own times here. And Griggs, you've had your chance to speak. Clearly, you know the fans who are watching, the people who are watching, know who already won this debate. He's wearing red, but I'm not going to say who
Thank
it
you.
is.
Thank you.
But let's go on to the next topic here, where we're talking about.
We don't need quarters. We already have two halves. It's perfect.
Well, Griggs, the next question was going to be yours, but because of that outburst, we're going to go back to Zach for the next question. And there's been a
Thank you.
lot of talk out there about expanding the size of the NCAA tournament from its current size of 68 teams. Zach, do you think it's time that we expanded? Because if you look percentage-wise in pro sports, there's a lot higher percentage of the teams that make it to the playoffs than that very small percentage in college basketball compared to them.
No, it's a terrible idea, and I look forward to how my opponent here defends it, as he is clearly in favor of NCAA tournament expansion. Limitless, in fact, was the term he used on the campaign trail. We do not need NCAA tournament expansion. It is the perfect American sporting event. It was perfect at 64 teams. It has been expanded to 68. In fact, I think that's far too much expansion. What we should be doing is reducing back down to 64 teams. Putting more of an emphasis on the importance of the regular season, the importance of difficult out-of-conference scheduling, true home and homes, not neutral site things at a casino in or somewhere inevitably at the Sanford Pentagon in South Dakota. We need teams to be challenging themselves because they know how difficult it is to get an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament, not making it easier for them, not opening it up so we have. I mean, did you all enjoy watching Virginia last year? Imagine an expanded NCAA tournament. Much as my opponent wants, of
I do
96
not
teams
want
or
to respect the
128
turn.
teams. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. You will have your time to defend the 128 team tournament. Not only would Virginia have been in,
Are you not buzzing this?
they would have been 30 teams in. You want more Virginia, America? I don't think America wants more Virginia. I think they want less Virginia. I support less Virginia in the NCAA tournament. Keep the thing at 68, go down to 64.
Well, he just lost the Virginia vote, but Griggs, I'm going to you for the opposite position. So go ahead and provide to us why you feel the tournament needs to be expanded to 128 teams.
It does not need to be expanded. One of the things you mentioned was how it's a lower percentage of teams than any other sport. Well, the other piece to that is there's nothing less interesting than an NBA regular season game or a regular season Major League Baseball game. I think that we're sort of at the Goldilocks point of it being just right. I would actually like. Maybe I want to see it go to 69. I don't know why. I just like that number. I think 69 is just perfect.
They're children watching, sir. Children watching.
But
Okay,
no bigger
we
than
just
that.
lost another audience as well. Go ahead.
Right. But no bigger than that. And one of the things I do think, not only would it water down the tournament, if you want to go back to Hoops HD last March, I actually built an 80-team field, and it just shows you how ridiculous it was. But it would water down the regular season as well, and a lot of
Well,
the intense
I'm sorry.
games.
I've got to fact check you here, Griggs. You're sitting here arguing against the position that you took last March in favor of expansion when
No,
you
I
released an
was not
80-team
in
tournament.
favor of.
So
No,
you're
the
clearly going
only
back and
thing
forth
that's
here.
dumber than expanding the tournament is going to quarters. We can't have quarters. Think of all of the. I mean.
And there you have it, America. My opponent admitting himself he is in favor of at minimum an 80-team NCAA
No,
men's basketball
I
tournament,
never said
having
that.
modeled it, having supported it, having put the plan out to the public. This is what he
I put
wants,
the plan
America.
out and said it was a bad plan. I
He
think I even
wants. Let's.
titled the
All right.
article.
All right.
It's a
We've
bad
got to
plan.
move on. Griggs, if you behave, I'll allow you have this next question, this next topic first. Griggs, this season especially, we are seeing massive amounts of realignment in college basketball. We saw the
You're
temporary
kidding.
death of the Pac-12, which
I
is now
missed that.
returning. Do you think this was good for the sport that we are really consolidating into the smaller and smaller group of just a few power conferences?
No, I don't think it's good for the sport that I mean, as much as people have been clamoring for that Rutgers UCLA conference matchup, I think it's awful for the sport. I don't think this sport is driving realignment at all. I think it's football, which is when you look at football and you look at all other college sports, be it basketball or baseball or rifle or soccer or like there's lots of them. Isn't there one called track? Softball, I forget what some of them are called, but football
Oh,
is
so sorry, time is up,
what,
Zach. Your
no, I wasn't
response.
finished yet because and
Well,
again, the only
it's
thing that's going to
interesting.
hurt this more than the realignment is going to quarters.
It's interesting that he stands here in front of a national audience, in front of America, and claims he's against it. When I have a book right here, you can't read this because it's far from the camera. It says David Griggs Project 2025. In it is all was all, his entire plan. It's dated from 3 years ago on how David Griggs was going to kill the Pac-12 where it stood and remove it permanently where it had to reform with all these Mountain West teams. David Griggs himself wanted to get rid of the Pac-12 because David Griggs wants one more auto bid, one more Virginia team that can get in because this year we have one fewer automatic bid. And his long-term goal of supporting the aesthetic pleasure of watching Virginia men's basketball was served by the elimination of the Pac-12. I think it's disgusting. Shame on you, sir.
Well, I admit to wanting to kill Commissioner Scott, but not the rest of the league.
Okay, there's going to be there's no violence allowed on the show, please. We are not condoning any form of violence. We do need
Unbelievable.
we do need to move on. Zach, this is actually a very very recent topic because just today, I believe the governor of Georgia came out with a rule saying that with regard to NIL money, saying that any school in the state of Georgia can pay students directly. Even we don't have to go through the NIL collectives. Not quite going into place yet, but that is, I think, where we're going. Even these NIL collectives get these kids money is going away, and we are very close to the point when schools are simply going to be taking their own money and paying it to kids to come and play there. Do you think this has destroyed the game, with amateurism completely gone now?
Well, I think it was kind of shamateurism the way it was now. If you think about it, there's not really any other walk of life where someone is expected outside of like volunteering, and that's to like actually help your community, where we expect somebody to give their all and invest their time and their effort and their energy for absolutely nothing in return other than this mythic theory of amateurism that's born out of a theory out of like the
Rugby.
ancient Greece. I don't know what this is. I believe people should be paid equally for their labor. I'm a strong candidate in favor of the labor movement. I've stood with Mr. James Hoffa and the Teamsters throughout my entire life. I'm all in favor of pay for, a full day's work equals a full day's pay. And it's a shame that my opponent is against supporting the working class of this great country.
Griggs, do you want to respond to why you feel that slavery is a good thing?
Well, yes, I just can't see how anybody can enjoy a sport if they don't think the players are being exploited. I mean, it just ruins it for me when the indentured servitude model that we had and that worked for so many years has gone away. Amateurism, at least in athletics, has its roots in rugby in the 1840s, 50s, whenever it was in England, when people that worked factory jobs and that were really fit and healthy, could not afford to leave work and play rugby without being paid. And the reason was that way the people at the elite schools and the gentlemen could sort of systematically force them out and exclude them. And I just think that's a great system. I don't know why we're getting away from it now. It's ruining the whole thing. The
And
only
there you
thing that's
have
ruining it more than that is
it.
this stupid idea of going to quarters in college basketball.
And
I mean,
time is up again for your question here. Zach, any quick response?
it's just disgusting that Mr. Griggs would side with the English aristocrats rather than hardworking Americans. Last I checked, this is America. When I look behind our wonderful moderator, I see an American flag there. Last I checked, that's who I'm supporting, and that's who I'll fight for in this debate.
Zach, let me go to you for this very similar topic here as well. With the way the transfer rules work now, that players could be pretty much almost go to four schools in 4 different years. Now we are set up in a position where when you combine the NIL money with the transfer rules, a team like, oh, say, UConn can go and see a great player like, I don't know, on Rutgers and just pay him a ton of money to come there and win a national championship because of that. Do you
We
think
can do that in
that
the
is really
amateur days.
a fair way to go about it at this point in time?
I think it's the perfect expression of the hardworking American spirit, truthfully. When if you've earned enough and you're willing to throw the bag out enough and you're willing to give someone a better life, and that's what UConn gave Cam Spencer, a better life. In a wonderful state where he can pump his own gas, he can win and make and win NCAA tournament games. He can make an ungodly amount of NIL money. I am all in favor of it. It's consistent with my previous position of supporting the American worker and my friends, the Teamsters, and my friend James Hoffa, who has not returned my calls in quite some time. I'm a little concerned. I heard he was going somewhere into New Jersey, and then the signal cut out. But I support him, and I support all situations in which you want to help student athletes, our hardworking employees, which is what they are, getting a better life. If Rutgers doesn't like it, they should simply be better at basketball or pay more, which they've done this year.
Your time is up after
Congratulations.
that comment. Griggs, would you like to
Well,
respond as to why what UConn did last year was completely unfair? They should have their championship taken away from
well,
them.
this never happened in the amateur days. Back then, the sport was pure. There was no dishonesty at all. And if there, I mean, if you wanted to pay someone, you had to do it under the table. And that was just a much more honest system, and it created more competitive balance. I mean, I think the problem we're going to see now is that you're going to see programs like Kentucky and Kansas and Duke and, you know, UCLA and UConn be performing at a significantly higher level than what many under the radar schools can perform at. And that's just a shift that I don't want to see in this sport. Alike not wanting to see quarters in this sport, I think that would ruin.
Okay, come on. Okay, now who really? Now we got to keep rolling along here. But Griggs, I will let you have the next question. I know it's one of your favorite topics. Are you in favor of the way that replay currently works in college basketball, or do you think that
Oh my
there's the
God.
system should be changed?
I think that it needs to be changed, and if we're not going to change it, if the options, the best option is to change it. A better option would just be to get rid of it entirely compared to what we have now. I like the concept in, I think, NFL pro football to where there's a limited number of replay challenges that each team gets. In college basketball, it's unlimited to how much television the officials want to watch. And what ends up happening is that you have stoppage after stoppage after stoppage, and it takes them sometimes 3 and 4 and 5 minutes per review. It's ridiculous. We saw a couple games last year where it took them 20 minutes or longer to play the last 60 seconds of the game. It's just overly disruptive to the flow. It's almost more disruptive than getting a call wrong that's so close that you can't tell that it takes 2 or 3 minutes. I think there should be challenges, and I think the standard should be indisputable proof. And after 60 seconds, if you're still not sure, then there must be some sort of dispute. Otherwise, you'd be sure. So whatever the original call should stand. It's disruptive. I don't like disruptions. Another thing that would disrupt college basketball is stopping halfway through the half because we went to quarters.
The buzzer means you must stop talking. Zach, do you want to take the opposite position that the replay system is good?
I mean, obviously it's good. Think about all the advances we have made in technology over the
We
last
have
50
none.
years. It would be a shame and a disgrace if we'd spend 2 hours of college basketball trying to live in the past. When you think about how hard these players work, I can't think of anything more pertinent to success in college basketball than a 7 minute delay to determine whether or not a ball went off of the pinky of a guy in a Mountain West six versus eighth place game. It's critical to the foundation of our American Republic. It is critical that we, I would say, get it right, but really we're guessing if we're all honest because we really don't know. And they're looking at on a Samsung 35-inch TV that was bought in 2012 because UNLV doesn't want to spend money on a new one. And the game was probably shot in 780p, so nobody can see. And we have like no angle of it. But if we don't do that, if we don't do that, we're ruining the foundation of America as a republic. We need, in fact, more reviews. We need more reviews. I think
No.
all live ball play should, they should be able to stop live play and review it in the middle of a dunk. They should be able to, 2 minutes into the game, 20 seconds into the game, to determine whether or not somebody might have stepped over the end line before inbounding the ball with a team not putting any pressure on them at all in a 2-2 game. I think that should be reviewed.
Review needs to go away.
Got a couple more
it's
topics
disruptive
here.
At quarters.
Topics here, and let's take a little bit of forward thinking now here. Zach, your school, UConn, somehow won back-to-back national championships. Not
Correct.
certain. They must have cheated. I think you actually said they did earlier, by stealing players from Rutgers to get there. But
Would have
first of all,
they
never
did not
happened in
steal
amateur
them.
days.
They did not steal them. They bribed them and stole them. Please get it right, sir. Thank you.
Bribed and then stole them. Is UConn going to three-peat this season?
Oh, obviously. I mean, clearly. I'm struggling to consider why they're even holding a season. It's so obvious a thing that has not happened in 40 years will
Oh,
happen
Zach, you're out of time.
again.
Griggs, would you like a response?
Well, when you consider that they're taking on
Sorry, Griggs, you're out of
350.
time as well.
I just want to note our moderator has an American flag behind him. He is clearly influenced by the American Athletic Conference, which has an axe to grind against the University of Connecticut. I'm not going to stand for it.
You both might be out of time at this rate.
Also,
UConn
Conference
is
USA
ducking the
has an issue.
Northeast Conference. They're not going on the road to face any of those teams. How can I respect that?
All right, Zach, very serious question though here. Does the NCAA, while it still exists, need to get together and officially ban all puppets from attending college
No.
basketball games?
My understanding was they already had. They don't
Okay.
need a new law. They need to start enforcing the law they have on the books, sir.
Griggs, would you like a
And if we
response?
and we need to
Okay.
empower our brave men and women college basketball officials to help enforce this law.
If I had a better lawyer, maybe I wouldn't be banned from so many places.
All right. All
They
right.
say they said I was causing a problem when all I was trying to do was demonstrate my right against quarters at some of these events.
Griggs, you're going to go first, but once again, you ran out of time. So I'm going to go back to Zach first for our second
Thank you,
last
sir.
topic here.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Zach, in all seriousness, if you could change one rule about college basketball, be it on or off the court, anything about Division I college basketball, what rule would you change? How would you make the game better?
Oh, that's a really good question. I had not actually considered. I would. I mean, you mentioned banning puppets already, so you took that one right out of my mouth. That was one. I probably would widen the lane. I'm not even that
Oh,
stringent on this. I'll be honest with the American people. Make it more of an international game. Free up the flow. So it's. And I say this. This is how unbiased I am as a fan of a school that won back-to-back titles with guys who in the post who would have been impacted by this rule. But I want what's best for the entire men's college basketball game across the United States. If you bring in the international rule, such as quarters, but obviously also the
no,
international
you
lane.
don't
You know
need
what? No,
quarter.
we need quarters. That's the
No,
one I
we do
want, is
not
quarters.
need quarter.
We need quarters. That's the
No,
one I want. I changed my mind, sir.
change. Just quick fact check. Well, anyhow, Griggs, would you like a response, or would you like to tell us how you would change the game?
Change the game? You mean between what's how it's
It,
played
it,
between
on
the
on
lines
the
or
on the
anything
court on or off the
on the
court,
court?
anything or off the court, anything
Okay.
about the way college basketball works.
I bet he wants to allow fighting.
Yeah, I would like to see some sort of parameters put in place, either as hard rules or as points of emphasis for the selection committee in regards to out-of-conference schedules. One of my things that I'd love to see is two unscheduled games at the end of the year that the committee could match up as they're evaluating teams. But anything else, I think I would like to see them say that you have to play at least four games away from home in your out-of-conference portion outside of the MTEs. Well, three outside of the MTEs. Some of these teams that stay home duck the top level under the radar teams, won't even give them a home game, and then claim that they belong in because those teams didn't play anyone. I don't think the tournament needs expanding. I think the regular season needs fixing. And one of the ways to maybe do that is just give the NCAA two of the 31 games at the end of the year for them to match up opponents and give some of the better teams that maybe not don't have those games built into their conference schedules a chance.
I actually did think of a serious one. I think in order to be considered for an at-large spot, you should have to have an over, not at, over 500 record in your conference. Nobody made USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon take the $70 million a year in TV money. I know your league is harder. You took the money. This is the deal, though. You should have to finish, I believe, over 500 to be considered for an at-large bid. You can still have the conference tournament as the catch-all, as so you still have something to play for that week. But I do not believe any team that's 500 or below should be considered for an at-large bid, regardless of how good the conference is. And also, we should mandate that every Division I team plays even more non-Division I opponents in the non-conference.
Help out the lower institutions. Need to go. That's almost as bad as quarters, non-D1 opponents.
I'll tell you what. I want to go ahead and give you each a shot here to give a little closing statement about anything that we discussed or anything else you want to discuss here. We are running a little bit low on time, so, Zach, I am going to start with you. Any closing statement that you want to give for the evening?
My closing statement to fans of college basketball, 12 of you that watch this, is do not feel defeated. All the noise is about how women's college basketball is growing. And I think that's great. That's awesome for the sport and all the noise about the NBA and the calendar. And the men's college basketball has lost its influence or lost some of its shine. Don't believe that. Still keep that glint in your eye that you have every day when you wake up that Thursday of the opening round of the NCAA tournament. And even more so when you wake up at 11 at night after your nap for that 10 versus 11 game in the West Coast Conference tournament ladder. That magic is there all season long. Ignore all of the negative noise. Don't let them take away what makes this thing great. And it's things like Pepperdine and Pacific playing a 45-point blowout game that shouldn't need to exist in a conference tournament designed to benefit one team. That's what makes college basketball great. And the UConn Huskies.
Well, Griggs, I have the score at 10-0, Zach, already at a win for tonight's debate. However, I will give you a chance for your closing argument as well, and maybe you can come back and take this thing.
Well, one of the things I want to address. Something
sorry, and that's it, folks. We are out of time.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the Hoops HD debate.
My final statement. I didn't get to make it.
We will talk to you again with preseason podcasts coming up here in a couple of weeks. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.